Well, the circus is still in town. We are on the third day of our travel article, finishing things up today. My name is Brandon Bryant. I have Hazel and Anna back with me for day three, and we've been enjoying the circus for the past few days, haven't we?
We sure have. So grab your popcorn and peanuts and your cotton candy and join us again today.
That's right. And we are, of course, in the state of Wisconsin and in the small town of Baraboo. And we've learned a lot over the past couple of days, actually. And I want to start off today just by asking my panelists, what is something about the circus, maybe a specific act that you really enjoy? Hazel?
Well, I said before the animals. I think there's been some famous lion tamers that mm-hmm. have the lions jump through rings of fire and do things like that. And that's very, of course, a very dangerous job. Sometimes they do get hurt. I like monkeys, when they have the monkeys mm. or a bear ride a unicycle, things like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And horses. I've always liked watching the horses run around in circles, and then usually they have a performer balancing on the horse, standing up and doing acrobatic moves on the horses. That's always very beautiful, and I've always enjoyed horses, so it's good.
Okay. And Anna?
Well, I agree. I love the animal shows, but one thing that really amazes me is the tightrope walkers, because I am afraid of heights. And so watching people walking across a rope many feet up in the air with the stick to balance, I think that's quite impressive, very fascinating.
It is, and as I listen to both of you talk, I'm just thinking about all of the skill and talent that is necessary to be able to really perform well in a circus.
Probably the hours of practice,
that's
too.
Right.
Hazel was saying that being a clown is a lot of work. It's a hard job, right? And so.
Right. And not only that, but I know, especially in the big top circus, when they'd take the train and go from place to place, all those workers did everything. They sold the tickets, they put up the tents, they did the performance. So it wasn't an easy job. And you don't really become famous. Very few people famous in the circus. It's not like a TV star or a singer or something. You can be very good at what you do, and that night people think you're great, but 2 days later they usually can't remember your name. So it's kind of a thankless job in some ways.
Yeah, and I think you have to really enjoy what you're doing. You know, and I think that's something we can take from that, you know, lesson is we need to enjoy what we're doing. That way, you know, if it does take a lot of hard work, at least you enjoy it, right? And I think what I see also here is there's a team effort. You know, it's not just one person putting on the show.
Right.
There's a group of people that are working together, and I'm sure they're forming great relationships and enjoying, you know, at least for a period of time, enjoying that. I'm sure it would get old traveling around all the time.
Well, and some families for generations, that's what they do. They live in the circus. It's a circus family.
That's true. It's like a family trade, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah, and so we don't always think about the hard work that goes into it. We just go to the show and enjoy it and go home, but there is a lot of hard work involved. And so that's really what we've been talking about the past couple of days, is what's involved in, you know, the circus as far as the Ringling Brothers and how they started it and where it has come to today. Now it is called the Ringling Brothers Barlum and Bailey Circus. And so it's a very famous circus, and they travel all around to many different places.
It used to be called the Greatest Show on Earth.
I believe they still have that as like their motto.
The Greatest Show on Earth.
Mm-hmm. And actually, the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus were competitors. They were each other's competition. And it wasn't until when Bailey died in 1906 that the next year his company was sold to the Ringling Brothers, and that's when they started bringing the two circuses together, and it was called The Greatest Show on Earth.
And that's not a very punchy name, the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. That's pretty long.
It's quite long, isn't it?
But they used both names together, and it's still known as that today.
That's right. And actually, in 1919 was the first performance of the combined Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. And that took place at Madison Square Garden in New York City. And so there's lots of history. If you go on to ringling.com, you can find out lots of information. That's where we got some of this information of the history of the Ringling Brothers. So today we are on page 44, third day of our travel article, and we're going to the circus world, and we're going to go to a big top performance. I'm excited to talk about this today, and listeners, I hope you will go ahead and open up your magazines. We're going to have our first reading for today.
Circus World. The biggest draw sits just south of downtown on 63 acres split by the twisting Baraboo River. Circus World. Housed on the Ringling's original winter quarters, Circus World is both a museum and a living, breathing circus. It is home to a mind-boggling amount of history. Thousands of posters, wonderfully ornate wagons from across the decades and the globe, and a room full of honking, clanging, clattering musical instruments. Visits begin in a museum just as dazzling to adults as to children, which includes one of the horse-drawn wagons that the Ringling Brothers used for travel. A full day of activities awaits in the park, including a magic show, a performance of those circus instruments, and a big-top performance.
Well, yesterday we talked about the Clown Hall of Fame, and now we're talking about Circus World, and they say that this is the biggest draw, Anna. What do they mean by that?
Well, a draw is something that attracts you to a place, a draw. So the biggest draw, something that brings tourists to this area, is Circus World.
Okay, and it's just south of downtown. It's on 63 acres. And it's split by the Baraboo River, and it's a twisting river. And what is this? This is?
It's Circus World.
Wow, that sounds exciting. We think of Disney World. This is Circus World, so there must be lots to do there.
There must be, and it does give us a list of things. It describes some things we can do. But first it says where it's housed. It's housed on the Ringling's original winter quarters. So the circus would come back to town in the winter time, and I guess stay there on this piece of property, the 63 acres.
That's right. Quarters just meaning residence, a place where you live, and so that's where this is. And it's a museum and a living, breathing circus. Now, those two words, living and breathing, we saw on the first day, but here it's used a little differently, right?
Right. On the first day, we saw live and breathe used as a verb. So you can live and breathe something. But here we have living, breathing as an adjective. So living, breathing circus describes the circus as being active and functioning.
It's very lively. Mm-hmm. And that's not hard to imagine. If you've ever been to a circus, you know that it's full of life. And that's what they're trying to say here. And what is it home to?
It's home to a lot of history. In fact, it says a mind-boggling amount. If something is mind-boggling, it's hard to think about. There's just so much to it that you can't even imagine.
Yeah, sometimes things people say could be mind-boggling, and it's just very surprising and maybe even shocking or overwhelming. And so there's so much history there to take in. And what do we find in this place?
Well, not only are there thousands of posters of different circuses and clowns, there's also some wagons here, wagons that the Ringling Brothers used to travel back and forth in, and it describes these wagons as wonderfully ornate. Now, the word ornate can mean decorated or having an intricate design. Something that's very beautifully decorated is ornate.
I think of the word ornament. Sometimes you have a Christmas ornament that you hang on the tree. It's a decoration.
That's good. Yeah, very beautiful to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you go by and see these wagons. They're very beautiful. And they're from across the decades. And so, you know, you go back to many decades ago, and there were wagons, and they have some of these wagons there. And not only the decades, but across the globe, and so from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And do they have a room full of honking, clanging, clattering musical instruments? What are all these words about?
Well, in the next paragraph, it talks more about the typical instruments in a circus, but we'll talk about the organ, bells, calliope, shakers, and chimes. So there's a lot of different instruments that are used in a circus that maybe produce a comedic effect or that maybe enhance the experience of the viewers.
I was going to say it sounds noisy, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
You know, you don't really think of musical when you think of clanging. You think of someone dropping pots and pans or something. So it doesn't sound musical, but that's part of the comedy.
Yes. It's kind of an annoying sound. But in
sometimes,
this context,
right.
it's funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the instruments and the sounds they make. Well, visits begin in a museum just as dazzling to adults as to children. So if something is dazzling, we usually think of maybe a dazzling diamond ring or something very shiny. But in this case, it could mean more that it's impressive, right? It impresses children and adults alike. And what do we find out about this museum?
Well, it also has some horse-drawn wagons that the Ringling brothers used for travel. So again, we had some wagons, some ornate wagons, and here we have horse-drawn wagons that the Ringling brothers used themselves.
Now, we see the word horse and a little hyphen and drawn. What is meant by horse-drawn?
The horse pulls the wagon. The horse used to pull the wagon. So, horse-drawn wagon. We sing jingle bells about a horse pulling a sled, a sleigh. Mm-hmm. And so before cars, before automobiles, lots of transportation was horse-drawn.
That's right. And
horsepower, so, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we have a full day of activities here that awaits you when you go. If it's awaiting, it's waiting for you there in the park. And even a magic show. Now, Hazel, I know that you have been involved with magic before, so would you be interested to go to this magic show?
Sure. I like magic shows. My dad used to do magic, and I learned some of his tricks growing up, and I've given some magic shows from time to time. And so magic is always very entertaining. You always wonder how the person does the trick. And so it's going to be very exciting and entertaining.
Yeah, I like magic shows as well. I like the one where they're pretending to cut someone in half. Mm-hmm. That one's always fun. No matter how many times I've seen it, I just always find that entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cutting someone in half is easy, but putting them back together is not.
That's right. Anna, have you attended any magic shows?
Yeah, I've seen some magic shows on TV, and I always enjoy magic shows because those things that you think are impossible, you see them happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are tricks involved and you're not really cutting someone in half, right? But it looks as if it is true. So I always find that very fascinating.
That's right. So very interesting to go and check out the magic show. And also they have the circus instruments. We were already talking about those honking, clanging, clattering musical instruments. Well, of course, you know, that's what it's talking about here. And then a big top performance, and we've been using this word already a lot. Big top just meaning it can be talking about the tent in particular, or sometimes it can be just talking about a circus in general. So you actually get to go watch a circus inside of a big tent. Sounds exciting?
It does.
Doesn't it? Okay. So there's lots to do here at Circus World, but we need to find out more about the details. And so we're going to find out about a day at the circus.
A day at the circus. My day began with the fast-paced circus instruments concert. In true circus style, the master of ceremonies seemed barely to take a breath as he hopped from massive instrument to massive instrument, chiming out magical blasts of noise from a Hammond organ, bells, a calliope, shaker chimes, and rub chimes. On the way out, we passed a cannon that said, "Human Cannonball" on the side. Then it was on to the magic show, where the illusionist executed a bevy of familiar and entertaining tricks. The main show was the Big Top performance, which made for a brisk, amusing hour of what you'd expect from a Big Top: a family of Czech unicyclists, a leaping dog with a cat on its back, a contortionist who fit himself into a disturbingly small clear box, a green-haired woman, and an elephant that sat on a tiny stool. At the end of the show, Circus World offered the opportunity to have a photo taken with a long, thick snake. The children seemed far more open-minded about the possibility than I.
All right, so now we are going to talk about a day at the circus, and this is the fun part, right? We're actually going to talk about the details. And so the writer here, of course, this article is from the Chicago Tribune, and so the writer is speaking in first person when he says, "My day began." How did his day begin, Anna?
Fast-paced. So when we talk about fast-paced, that means that it's moving very quickly. So it feels like it's going by very fast. It's interesting to watch.
Okay, and then he's talking about the instruments here, the fast-paced circus instruments concert. And so the concert was very fast-paced. And that sounds typical of a circus, right?
Yeah. It's not like a serious concert where you're listening for a long time to perhaps some slow music, but there's a lot of fun things probably going on as well. They're playing, and maybe different instruments come in, or maybe, who knows, maybe even some clowns or some funny slapstick, as Anna talked about. So a lot of things could be happening, but it's not boring at all.
That's right. A circus cannot be boring at all. All right. Well, in true circus style, the master of ceremonies seemed barely to take a breath. Master of ceremonies, we often call this what?
MC. It's often shortened to MC, yeah. So you see with a lot of music awards or movie awards on TV, there'll be an MC who's kind of directing the program.
Okay, so this is typical at a circus to have an MC. This MC didn't even look like he was able to breathe, right? He barely even took a breath, it seemed. So he was hopping around and doing lots of different things. He was going from one instrument to another. And we use the word massive here just to mean huge.
Yeah. When I think of a MC at the circus, I think of someone called the ringmaster. And he wears a tall black hat, and he wears maybe tight pants and boots, and sometimes has a whip. And he'll speak very quickly and strongly with confidence and tell you where to look, tell you what attractions, what things are happening. So the master of ceremonies keeps things moving, so he wants everything to go fast-paced.
Okay, very good. And what was he doing?
He was jumping around from instrument to instrument. It says hopped here. That just means that he's changing instruments, playing many different instruments. And in the last paragraph, we heard some of these noises that these instruments are making. Honking, clanging, clattering. So it is a very noisy thing. Now the word massive instrument, Brandon said massive means large, right? And we talked about the word jumbo, also meaning large. So massive and jumbo are synonyms.
Okay, and he was chiming out magical blasts. And this phrase, chiming out, you may not be familiar with that, but just, you know, making a musical sound, and usually you're striking something such as an instrument. We often hear the phrase chiming in, and we use that in conversation, don't we?
Right. Maybe someone says, "I would like to chime in. Here's my opinion." So people chime in and give advice. They just say something while you're talking. So anyway, he is chiming out magical blasts from these massive instruments. One is a Hammond organ, and Hammond is a brand name of a very famous organ. An organ is something, it's like a piano, but it sounds very different. Often churches used to have organs.
Okay, that's right. And so we had bells, and there were shaker chimes and rub chimes, and also this, there's another word here, right? Calliope, right? And so that is just steam whistles, and it's controlled by a keyboard. So it's kind of like an organ, right?
A little bit like an organ, but the sound is very different because of the steam pipes, the steam whistles.
Okay. Well, on the way out, they pass something, and there's a picture of it there on page 44. What is that?
That is a human cannonball. And the human cannonball is, it looks like a cannon, but instead of the ball, they put a person inside and shoot a person. some distance through the air. So this cannon is not used for fighting, but just for entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. There was a human cannonball record set in 2011 in Italy. A man was thrown 193 feet through the air. That's 59.05 meters.
Wow.
He traveled a speed of 120 kilometers per hour.
I saw that video and I was amazed.
Can you believe it? Can you imagine being that person?
So he was shot from a cannon. I always used to wonder if it was really true or if it was a magic trick.
Oh.
But it's real, huh?
I guess
it really
happens.
Oh, I don't think I'd want to be a human cannonball.
It looks like a lot of fun.
Do you think
so? And there was a net to catch them.
Yes.
So.
Okay, well, you have fun.
Well, they have the human cannonball, and then we see next it was on to the magic show. Who was at the magic show, Anna?
The illusionist. So kind of like a magician, right? Can you tell me the difference, Hazel?
Well, often an illusionist would do bigger tricks and bigger illusions. And a magician can do illusions, which are the big tricks, or can do smaller tricks with cards and things like that. So as someone doing small tricks with coins and cards would probably not be called an illusionist, but a magician. But an illusionist could probably be called either.
Okay.
A magician or an illusionist.
All right. Thank you, Hazel. Well, the illusionist executed a bevy of familiar and entertaining tricks. He executed them. He performed them. And what do we mean by a bevy of?
A bevy is a large group of a particular kind of thing. So a bevy, maybe a synonym would be collection.
Okay. A large number of familiar and entertaining tricks. He performed them. So the main show was the Big Top performance, and it made for a brisk, amusing hour. Brisk, Hazel?
Well, fast-paced, fast-moving. Didn't seem slow or boring at all, just one thing after the next.
All right, and it was amusing. It was very entertaining, and it was only for an hour. I like when you go to something and, you know, maybe it's only for an hour, but there's so much involved. They pack that hour full of stuff that it's just a lot of fun, and it didn't last a long time, but everybody had a good time, and it didn't take up a lot of your time. So I think that's a great way to entertain people. So this was both brisk and amusing, and it's what you would expect from a Big Top performance. So maybe you went to a circus when you were a child, you saw a performance, and you have these expectations. Well, this delivers. You know, it gives you what you want, right? So you go here and you have a good time. And what do we see? We see a description here. What do we see first?
Well, we see the family of Czech unicyclists. Okay, I said that sometimes the circus performers were families, and here it gives the nationality of a family from overseas, from Czech unicyclists. Unicycle it's like a bicycle, but it only has one wheel, so that's why it's called unicycle instead of bicycle. All right, so unicycles are a lot of fun to watch. It's a great skill, and actually unicycles are more and more popular now. Even in Taipei, I've seen some around the world. They're getting more and more popular. They're not only for circuses anymore.
That's right, and oftentimes I've also seen people juggling at the same time as balancing on a unicycle. Have you ever seen that before?
Oh, maybe. That takes a lot of talent.
And that's probably included in this act. That's almost what you would expect, I think, from a unicycle.
And you also see a leaping dog, and then a leaping dog with a cat on its back. And then we see the word contortionist. What is a contortionist, Anna?
A contortionist is someone who twists their body into shapes and positions that ordinary people cannot. So here we see a contortionist is fitting himself into a small box.
Disturbingly small box.
Yes. You almost think that it would be impossible, right?
Mm-hmm. It's very surprising that he's able to do that.
It's disturbing. You almost think, ew, that must hurt.
Yeah.
How can he do that? Why would he do that? So it's entertaining, but it's also a little bit disturbing, perhaps.
And uncomfortable for you to watch.
Yeah.
Well, we also see a green-haired woman. That's always fun to see a lady with green hair. And an elephant that sat on a tiny stool. That's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I think we kind of have, well, we have a picture there on page 43. It's not really a stool, but we do have a picture of an elephant there. And he's able to stand there. He's not sitting. But that would be cool to watch an elephant to be able to sit on a tiny stool because they're so huge.
Yes.
You know? Mm-hmm. Well, these are the things that you would expect from a big top. And so that's what happened here. And so it delivered on those expectations. What happened at the end of the show, Anna?
Oh, there was a big, long, thick snake, and you could take your picture with it. And the writer of this article is not too thrilled. He says that the children seemed far more open-minded about the possibility than I. So clearly he wasn't too enthralled. But the children seemed like they really wanted to take a picture with the snake. They were open-minded.
I wouldn't be excited about that either.
I'd rather have a picture with the clown. Yeah. Or the unicycle.
I do have a picture with a huge snake. But I wouldn't, you know, want to do that too often. Maybe once is enough.
Neither would the snake.
I think the clowns are scarier than the snake, actually.
Well, yeah, the kids were very open-minded. So open-minded means you're willing to try new things and consider new ideas. And so maybe we need to be a little more open-minded.
Considering be willing to touch that snake.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking about the circus. The circus is now leaving town. We have come to the end of this article, but we hope that you have enjoyed traveling to Wisconsin to talk about the history of the circus and the circus capital of the world, the small town, Baraboo in Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will join us again next month. Until then, this is Brandon,
Hazel,
and Anna
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.